Let's pray before we open the word here. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the mundane. Lord, so that we can be still, that we can be bored, that we can say, Lord, you are that still, small voice that speaks to our heart in the quiet and the stillness. Lord, would you give us ears to hear and hearts to comprehend who you are, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I looked on the calendar and we started Proverbs over a year ago. And we just scratched the surface. Because God is real big. That's very theological, you know. He's real big. And I'm real small. And then today, we're going to come to the end of this series. And I'm kind of sad because I've loved Proverbs. And I know a lot of you have enjoyed Proverbs. We've talked about big categories of that you find in Proverbs in the verses, because you read a chapter and it's like feels like it skips around, you know. And so with the help of my late friend, I'll call him Timothy Keller, as he organized all those and say, hey, let's come up with some topics. And the first one we talked about was just knowing wisdom, you know, just understanding what is wisdom, you know, what is it? How do you touch it, feel it, experience it? Talked about knowing God in all those places, that an understanding of his character and who he is. We talked about knowing the heart, kind of scary. But if you don't know and understand where you can go south, you won't protect yourself. Knowing the heart. We talked about knowing others. And I always laughed about, you know, it's like those other people that you need to understand, right? All those people that are pain in the you-know-what. And then I laughed as I said, knowing others. I'm really like, that's me. Oh, that's me. Oh, that's me. Really, I was thinking, you should call it knowing myself. And I know why he wrote that, because it kind of soft sells, hopefully, God speaking to you. And going, it's not just them. I got that problem too. Knowing others. And then we finished this last category of knowing the spheres. All those places of influence in our life, you know. Marriage and parenting and kids and sex and relationships, those places. And then last one we did was justice. Those spheres of influence that God has given in our lives, that there is nobody who doesn't have influence here. Anything you say, everything you do is impacting somebody. It's so important why choosing your friends is so important. Choosing who you hang out with is so important, because it influences you. And either, I describe it, you know, you either are growing or you're going backwards. There is no in between. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. There's no in between. It's like, no, I just want to take a day off, Jesus. No, he says, choose this day whom you will serve, like Joshua said. Who are you? And then line your life up with that. As we come down to this understanding the essence of God's wisdom, we're going to end with knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus. To know Jesus is to know wisdom. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To know Jesus is to know abundant life. And we've talked about that from the very beginning, that the essence of all the stuff we've talked about really is who God is. And then, you know, you and I can approach Proverbs as keys to life. And I think about the seminars I've been to, which is very helpful. And I take notes. But I think if I cannot remember all the great ideas I've learned, all the great principles of business and relationships, we need God's touch on our hearts. And you talk about it, to grab a hold of wisdom that God has for every circumstance that you come up against. The only way you and I are ever going to grab a hold of that is by grabbing a hold of Jesus, the wise one. I love, you know, when he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to teach you and remind you. Because I need some reminding. I need some teaching. As we come in and talk about this Jesus. And in these verses, I'm going to end with a proverb. But all these verses today are going to come from the rest of the Bible. This first one is to know Jesus is to know the ultimate teacher. The ultimate teacher. Mark 6:2. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things, they asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? You know, just as they came, they were like, this is just Jesus. This is just the carpenter's son. Where is he getting all this stuff? Because we know that even at 12 years old, he was impressing the teachers of the law. At 12. There's two paths that are offered in Proverbs, right? Then offered by the Lord. One path is broad and easy, right? And one is narrow and hard. You know, in this world, you know, how many guys would like to lose weight and eat everything you can? How many would like to lose weight and not be able to eat what you want? You know, it's crazy. We this fasting thing. I can go without a meal until you tell me I need to go without a meal. What the heck's up with that? You know, it's kind of like the same thing. It's like to once you become aware that something's not good for you, why do you crave it? It's the challenge. Those two paths. One path leads to wisdom, hidden treasure, fear of the Lord, and knowledge of God. And the other path leads to oppression and slavery and hopelessness. That's a reality. It's there's two paths that are offered. Jesus said what? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. There is no plan B. There's only plan A. And we spend our life trying to figure out how plan B is going to work, don't we? It's like, there's got to be another way. And then we can piddle away our lives trying to find another way until we finally say, okay, God, I give up. I give in. You know, and I've sensed in those times of humility, I feel peace come over me, and I feel the Holy Spirit says, okay, now we can do something. Now we got something to work with, that you're willing to do it my way and not your way. It's a different kind of wisdom. It's a different kind of wisdom than the flesh wants. The flesh wants answers. Even wisdom. We want to be able to go get the three principles of life and then live out our life. It's a different kind of wisdom because the flesh wants to be able to earn it, right? But the kind of wisdom God has is a gift that comes through a relationship, that comes through experience of growing. You know, I think of my walk. I look back, and I even now, you know, I feel like I've grown. Thank you, Lord. But I think that at each stage, wherever you find yourself, you feel like whatever you grab a hold of, that you got a handle on it. And like, okay, I got it now. Well, now you got something, but it ain't all of it. To be able to say, okay, there's more God is such a great encourager to say, nice job. You know, just like the kid that brings your drawing, you know, to you, and you're not sure which way to hold it. But you still can affirm them and say, this is so beautiful. I love your colors. You know, the story, you know, I have a grandson who writes stories in their phonetic, you know. I don't go and correct it and say, oh, you spelled that word wrong. I just sound it out and I'm like, oh, I know what he's saying. I just, it is to enjoy, and God at the same time, he enjoys whatever gift we give him. At the same time, he knows there's so much more for us to go, grow in. So much more. The mystery of the gospel is seen in that Old Testament story of Job's friends. If you know the story, Job, super wealthy, generous, kind man, loses it all, except for his life. He loses his kids. He loses all of his possessions. And his friends, for 37 chapters, hammer on him and say, God is good and faithful. This would not be happening if you didn't screw up. Come on, come clean. What is your secret sin? What's going on? And Job's like, you look at my life. You've looked at how I live. You tell me. And like, no, it must be something. It kind of, they were errors in two parts. One is they thought they had it going on, and Job didn't. What they didn't understand is that none of them had it going on. It was only because of God's graciousness and love that God, a perfect God, can love and bless imperfect sinners. Jesus, the ultimate teacher, came to example that. Say, hey, listen, it is not about what you earn, because what you earn, you're bankrupt. You've already spent anything you could earn. 10 times over. And wisdom's that way too. It's a gift. It is a gift, something we don't earn. It's why I think you learn to be very cautious about giving advice. Because you're not in somebody else's shoes. You don't know the circumstances. You don't even know what God's trying to grow them in, where their faith needs to go. You know where your faith has been, but you don't know where their faith has been or going. To be able to just ask questions and not give answers and, hey, you ought to do this. Anybody have the you oughta habit? I got the you oughta habit. You should've and you oughta. And the Lord doesn't ask us to do that. He says, you just walk out your life. You let me lead them. As we walk out our human existence. And I like this statement. The essence of sin is we human beings substituting ourselves for God. Right? I know what's best for me. I know what you ought to do and what you ought to do. Where God, the essence of salvation, is God substituting himself for us. And I think wisdom, we always think of wisdom is allowing people to live in the consequence of their sin. Right? The statement of, you made your bed, you sleep in it. Did you know that's not God? That's not God. You and I would not be in this room if that was God. It boggles the mind that God responds with love and not condemnation. To be kind when we don't deserve it. I think I mentioned last week about somebody here in town that the Lord have a relationship with, who is my neighbor in the big picture, my neighbor who doesn't have a home, who has broken relationships, cannot have phone calls returned by family because bridges have been burned. And they have my phone number. And they lost their phone and asked me my phone number, and I said no. Then they found their phone and they have my phone number again. But as I get asked for help, my tendency, my flesh, wants to allow them to live in the consequence of their choices. And Jesus says no. Says you need to be kind to them and loving because that's who I am. Whether it's a room, because of your generosity, I've been allowed to do some nights of room for folks in our community at this very chilly weather that we've had. And been able to give some gift cards for Walmart for food. But the Lord is generous, and it will only be in that love and expression of generosity that this last week they commented, it's like, you don't just pray for me. I said, a lot of churches I call, they just pray for me. But you are doing something. And then they said something encouraging to me. They said, I signed up for an addiction recovery class and I'm going to go tonight. You know, I say, praise the Lord. Exactly. I know that, and I would I have said, would I had given her advice to go do that? Yes. But that wasn't what God gave me to do. Give me a sign just to love and bring His wisdom. His wisdom that is motivated by love, that in some hard to understand way is what transforms us. Not just principles, but a life change, a heart change. That because as I become aware of God's love for me, allows me to be generous and work through my flesh that says, really? Again? You lost all your stuff again? I'm going to go buy you another stove? Jesus, to know Jesus is not only to know the ultimate teacher, but to know the better Solomon. Luke 11:31, the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. I'm talking about the queen of Sheba who came, and she had heard about Solomon. If you know the story, she shows up in his courts and sees the nation of Israel at that time. He says, the half of what was told to me, the only half of what was told to me, which was hard to believe, it is bigger than I even knew. And he said, how blessed your people must be to sit under you and your wisdom. I'm wild. Because even in that story, what that insinuates is that she recognized Solomon's wisdom and the blessing of the Lord on the nation of Israel, but the people didn't. And I just think about just what Jesus said, He is better than Solomon. And we're going to talk about a little bit what that is, but the conviction is like, do I realize? Am I just taking Jesus for granted and His wisdom, or am I recognizing, oh, how blessed you are to be under the King of Kings, the one who holds all wisdom, to enjoy who He is, or do I just take it for granted? This is just where I live. And I just pray that my flesh would not be blind. As we talk about Proverbs, Solomon teaches wisdom, and he calls us to justice and to wait for God's punishment, right? That kind of is a sick kind of motivation. It's like, oh, they're going to get theirs, man. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but man, they're going to get theirs. And the reality is, like, there is the truth that God will bring justice. And like we talk about in Proverbs, that it isn't always going to come like we think. And it may not come in our lifetime, but part of our faith walk says it will come. It will come. Jesus come, and we talk about all those other bad people, evil people that should be punished. Jesus came and took that punishment on himself. Where Solomon says, you know, just even as you read the Psalms, you know, they call it the imprecatory Psalms, where David prays terrible prayers against his enemy. You know, would you take their babies and smash them to the rock? I was like, whoa, that's heavy duty. You know, just as I read, it's like, you know, you think about evil people who need, who sin and need judgment. I is one. And so I'm like, I'm not going to pray that prayer because I'm praying that judgment on myself. I'm thankful that God comes and brings it. And where Solomon is waiting for this to get taken care of, Jesus came and took that punishment on himself. Solomon said that God is a defender of the oppressed, but Jesus took that injustice on himself. Solomon called for us to write his teaching on our hearts, but Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to write it on our hearts of flesh. Solomon calls us to choose and obey wisdom. Jesus sent his Spirit to enable us to want to do what's right and empower us to do what's right. Whereas just Solomon is just like great principles with the power. I was sharing with somebody this last week. They said, you know, what's your story? You know, Pentecostal, what does that mean? And I just shared, I said, well, I grew up in a Baptist church. You know, and I learned the word. I said, but there was a time that I was looking for something more because, and at the time I didn't know what it was. I was looking, I don't know if I should say this. I always tell people, if you think you shouldn't say something, don't. I'll just say it. Anyways, you'll see what happened. My wife and I were in a Sunday school class, and we were both had friends who were spoken tongues. And we said, hey, I had never heard of, besides hearing, I never did know my Bible well enough to know that it was in the Bible. But I remember saying, hey, what is this speaking in tongues thing? And he kind of brushed off. He said, oh, that's from Satan. He says, you know, let's move on. And my wife and I look at each other. We weren't married yet. It was probably a year before we got married. We looked at each other and we were thinking, wrong answer. Because those friends, for both of our experiences that spoke in tongues, were their lives were more spiritually consistent with what we knew God taught in the Bible. And so I just think that hunger for me was like, I want more than knowing what the rules are. I want to be able to walk and live it. And so that Holy Spirit, as we discovered in the next few years, we end up going to our first Foursquare church in Olympia, Washington. That's how come. And God's providence and sovereignty, I'm a Foursquare pastor today. No, I worked for as an accountant, office manager for a project plant in Olympia, Washington. We went to our first Foursquare church, and they raised their hands, and they had friends who, in fact, very, very good friends that we met there we loved and enjoyed them, and they're funny, and we liked doing stuff. We liked how to raise their kids, and we went on a retreat, marriage retreat together, and we were talking to them. It says, you know, this speaking in tongues thing is crazy. It says, you don't speak in tongues, do you? And they both looked at each other and just started laughing, and they looked at us and says, yes, we do. It was like, it just blew me away, because I was like, there's just those weird people that speak in tongues. And here these people were fun, walking out their faith, and they were speaking in tongues. And just all those pieces that grew us to go, I want that power. Not just to go up and head and know what to do is right, but the Holy Spirit to be in me, to be able to enable me to walk out what I know is right. To be speaking to my heart and continue a lifetime of growing, of listening, and getting away from the noise, whatever that noise is for you, the noise is for me. Solomon paints a picture of the ideal king, but Jesus is the true king. Solomon failed to obey his own wisdom, but Jesus is the perfect example of God's wisdom. Jesus is the better Solomon. Jesus, to know Jesus is to know wisdom in person. Matthew 11, verse 18 and 19. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. John the Baptist, crazy John, he came and he was the messenger to prepare the way for the Jesus. And he, if you know the story, he was in the wilderness. You know, he wore camel's hair for clothing, you know, which I guess was the cheap clothing of the day. And you were very humble and ate locusts and honey. And people would go out to hear him. And it's like, who is this crazy guy? You know, that doesn't play by the rules of how you're supposed to have do religion in the day. And yet people's responses were what? They repented of their sin. From the wealthy to soldiers, Roman soldiers were asking him, what do we do? What do we need to do? And John would tell them what they needed to do. It just crazy. It's like, okay, that's not the guy, because we don't want to live like that. We don't want to have to go and look for him. So Jesus comes along and he hangs out with the people he came to save. And he's accused by the religious leaders. It's like, oh, you're not sucking it up like you should. Why are you hanging out with them? You know, and it just the reality of Jesus pointing out is that wisdom is told by the deeds that are done, the result. We talk about, you know, Matthew the tax collector, Zacchaeus the tax collector, the cream of traitors to a nation were hated, and yet these guys are turning their hearts to the Lord to follow Jesus and returning what they stole, to getting their lives right and leaving things behind to follow Jesus. Wisdom. God's wisdom is reflected in how it sacrifices for people. Jesus didn't just teach wisdom. He lived it. He lived it. To know Jesus is to know wisdom and rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It just, you know, we talk about Proverbs. Like I said, you drive yourself crazy, and you would have, you know, sticky notes all over your fridge, all over your mirror, on your dashboard, if you to write all those things down. And it's good. Those things are good to pursue wisdom. But you can become exhausted trying to always do the right thing. Always trying to do this principle and remember this thing and remember that thing. That constant chase will make you burn out. It will make you burn out. It's exhausting. Those things that we hope for, because it talk about perseverance. When you don't get what you work hard for, if you're not going for something bigger beyond, you're just going for results, you'll get discouraged. You know, I think about all the things that take perseverance, you know, relationships or starting a business or pastoring or your Christian walk. You have to have a bigger vision than just results. And that's the part of God's wisdom, because he's not about giving us what our flesh wants. He's about giving us what our heart desires. Our heart desires significance and meaning and knowing our value. Those things that have to come not because of stuff. Has to come because we know God loves us and cares about us. Jesus paints a picture of wisdom and rest. There's a way to walk in wisdom because we walk alongside wisdom itself. Like, this isn't something that, make sure you do this, make sure you do this, make sure you do this. It's like, no, this is how you walk with wisdom. Jesus, where are we going today? Okay. To walk with wisdom so that every situation comes up, Jesus is right there, showing you, telling you, guiding you through. Maybe taking a step back and say, hey, what do you think we should do, Scott? What do you think my heart is for this situation? I think we ought to do this. I think so too. To be able to have that peace is like, I can't remember it all. I can't comprehend it all. Have you ever done something where you're like, man, why did I do that? Or, man, I should have thought of that. Well, when you walk alongside wisdom, you will think of that. Because wisdom will be relied alongside you, and you can be confident, even in what you don't know the result of. Just like this person that I've been helping with, I don't know the result of that. I don't know whether it will ever lead to salvation. What I do know, that I'm exampling how Jesus loves me. That it's a gift and it's not earned. Walking alongside wisdom itself is a wisdom that is in step with gentle and humble heart of Jesus. A wisdom that is based in relationship and not performance. Wisdom that requires work but does not overwhelm. I know that I'm unhealthy when I'm getting overwhelmed. I know that I haven't taken a rest. I haven't taken a break, and I'm still trying to get that next box checked. I can tell. My wife can tell it too, because I get a little cranky. And I get short even before I recognize it. I hate when I say, hey, I just want you to know that I'm getting a little stressed out and I recognize it. And you know what Jackie says to me? I know. I hate that, because she sees it before I see it in myself. That's when I'm not walking and enjoying the slow walk of relationship, of wisdom and rest. To know Jesus is to know the treasure chest. Paul writes in Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have it the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We think of wisdom as something that you go and get. Because you get that. There's, say, go find wisdom. That it's kind of like you know, this pearl of great price, you know, that you go and you, oh, here it is. Now I got this treasure chest and I walk around with it. And now I got it. But Proverbs teaches that it's something that is developed in us. Something that happens over time and experience. You know, where you learn and you're thinking, I think this is the best way to do. This is the way I should do it. This is the way I should go. And then you do it and you discover, like, yeah, that wasn't the best way to go. But I'll remember next time. I mean, I tell myself, note to self, don't do that again. But it's not like I was trying to do something stupid. It wasn't that I was trying to be disobedient. But it's a process. Just like your kid, you want to back off and allow them to discover. If you don't let them discover their own finiteness, their own short-sightedness, they will never learn. You want to protect them, you know, from injuring themselves or cutting their arm off, but you don't want to keep them from learning. That's how we learn. We develop. We grow. As we give, just we tell our kids, you know, that when you're 18, God willing, we're going to have you equipped to be an adult. And even at that stage, they will be adulting with training wheels. But as God leads us, that it's a process in that is developed, that over time you develop character as you practice it. You have to practice the wisdom that you have, or you will never grow in your wisdom, right? The kingdom principle you heard that Jesus taught, he says that if you don't take care of what you have, the small stuff, I won't trust you with more. If you don't take care of the wisdom you have, you're not ready for the next thing. If you want that treasure chest, and I know you do like I do, to walk with Jesus, but walk in the patience of God's love, that when we fail, it is not failure. That it's a process of learning to say, it's people that learn and grow are people that are not afraid to fail. That it's like, and it's that whole process is so complicated in the sense that you have to grow in your confidence of God's love for you and who you are, that it's okay to fail. That does not establish your value and identity as a person. That you have to say, I'm learning. I want to example that so that I can risk and fail, but learn. So that the people around me aren't afraid to try stuff. Because they know that their value is in who they are as a human being, not what I think of them. It's being obedient, right? Yeah, you got to come up with your own definition of success. What is your definition of success? If you were to evaluate, hey, this is a successful person. Is our temptation is to look at the world. The world's got a definition of a successful person. It's not God's definition of a successful person. Jesus says, the last shall be first. When we get to heaven, we're going to be shocked at the people that are esteemed and put over things that we didn't even know about, that lived right here in little old Lebanon because of how they lived. As I struggle with that definition, I have to remind myself, my definition of success is that I obeyed the Lord. Amen. Did you obey the Lord? Yeah. then it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what people think of you. It doesn't matter what those voices want to try to condemn you or tell you that you're less than. God says, Scott, put your name in there. You are a success because you obeyed me. Treasure chest. True wisdom is not a set of principles, but a discovery of the wisdom of forgiveness and the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. A wisdom that changes attitudes and actions. How much will you invest to know Jesus and His word to become wise? To know Jesus is to know the true King. Colossians 1, verse 15 to 17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. How many of you understand the makeup of an atom? How many guys ever heard of an atom? Well, you got your nucleus, right? The middle of it, made up of neutrons and protons. And then you have this thing. What is this thing that goes around it? What are those called? Electrons. What you just heard is all I know. The reality, though, is that atoms make up almost all the material that we have in this universe. Did you know that Jesus created the atom? And He holds it all together. It's an amazing, amazing thing that we think about. A company that is well run by management. You think of families who have parents that are lead their families in doing what's right and homework and managing. And you see those companies where those excellent executives get removed for one reason or another. Maybe they die. And you see companies implode. Why? Because they don't have good management. You see maybe a parent die or something happen that they leave their family and you see families implode. Jesus brings that kind of organization. Sin is chaos and disorder. Yeah. Jesus came to bring order and organization and management to the world as He comes as the true King. Anything outside of Jesus results in chaos and disorder. That's why He had to die on the cross to bring order back to this sinful world. Amen. I think about my life would be a wreck if it wasn't for God's transformation of my heart. And I know you guys have lived that too. You know, that there's a redemption that happens. Yes, maybe there's a story of regret or sin, but as you've lined yourself to the Lord, you've seen His order and forgiveness come to your life. To choose to be under the Lordship of Jesus is to choose to enter the order that He created from the beginning of time. Say, God, I want You to bring order to my life. I want You to bring restoration of what the enemy has taken. It is this battle of sin. sinful hearts don't want to submit to anything, rules or lordship. And it is, it's just, it is part of that submission that we come to the Lord, and people, it's a constant growth. But you think of that initial, where you throw your hands up and, you know, whether it's, we prayed that prayer, God, if things are going to change, it's going to have to be you. Yeah. God, if you're real, make it known to me. Yeah. God, I've tried my way, now I want to try your way. That part of making Jesus the ruler and Lord over our lives, to see that growth from disorder to order, to grow out of chaos to purpose. Whose rule are you under? Are you under the rule of the true King, or are you under your own rule? I think about what it means to grow in wisdom. And one of the things that Jesus talked about had to happen was in John 3:3, as he had a conversation with Nicodemus. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're what? Born again." And that just like, Nicodemus like, what are you talking about, born again? It's something that happens when God births, gives us his Spirit. It's something that happens when we not only believe there's a God, because right, only the demons know there's a God. In fact, they probably have a lot clearer version of who God is than we do. They're very, but look how they live. So it's not just believing there's a God, but a faith that says, God cares how I live. It's a faith that says, I sin, I messed up, and confessing that. Say, God, I confess that I blew it. I confess that I did my will instead of what you designed. It's a faith that says that his death on the cross covered it all. Hallelujah. And say, God, you're the one who makes me qualified. I'm qualified because of what you did. To be born again, and at that moment that we put our faith in Jesus for our salvation, the moment we confess our sins and recognize it, God takes his Spirit and he places it in us. Amen. Him in us. To say, I'm going to give you a relationship with me that you can walk and it can empower you to live. That's what being born again is. It's the reality, the process is not done at the moment of salvation. It's just begun. It's that process that the Bible talks about, sanctification. Well, really, I mean, think about a child. You know, you are teaching them how to walk, how to be polite. If that child doesn't grow and mature, we know there's something wrong. There's something missing. The process of sanctification, we talk about discover who God is, who I am, who we are. That's that process of growth, is once I understand how much God loves me, that he's not just waiting to drop the hammer on me. It's like, no, God is loving. This hard thing that's happening is because he wants to grow me and train me. That's why I say, as you back off your kid and you're like, I told you to be careful, that hammer's kind of heavy. You know, here, use this little hammer. No, I want to use daddy's hammer. That hammer's going to hurt. I told you the hammer was heavy, it's going to hurt. Guess what? Next time I tell him that, he will listen. Same thing, God, he doesn't want us to hit our thumb. He wants us to trust him. But because he loves us, he will let us do some stupid things sometimes. And say, God, this happened because you love me, not because of my hard-heartedness. That we get to grow, and at that point of process, that we need to mature. And I talk about that His Holy Spirit enables us to hear, right? The Holy Spirit comes to remind us and to teach us. That's what he said in Joel, talks about there's a time when you will no longer learn about the law, because I will give my Holy Spirit who will write it on your heart. So that you can say, okay, Lord, what do I do here? Well, we're walking together. What are we going to do here? How do I love this person? How do I respond to this? That process of maturing, growing in my faith, that God wants to do way more than I'm asking Him to do. That God wants to grow my obedience to Him and trust in Him. He wants me to grow in my relationship with Him, and as I do, it changes my relationship with each other. You don't have to go and try to make an impact. The impact that we have will follow every time you grow. The most powerful witnesses I've seen sometimes are brand new Christians. Brand new. They don't know right theology. All they know is that I was lost and now I'm found. I was hopeless and now I have hope. And somebody would say, I want some of that. They don't have all the theology. They just know how God's transformed them. As you discover who God is, as you grow in whatever minutia of faith that you're growing in that week, you will have an impact. And count name. That's what it means to be born again, to have followed Jesus moment by moment. And to have friends who encourage you, who are walking out their faith. I'm going to end with this. Proverbs 4:7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. If Jesus is wisdom in the flesh, we could change this proverb to say, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get Jesus. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. That's how we get wisdom. That's how we grow in responding, is in walking in relationship with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The essence of wisdom. Wisdom is not principles. Wisdom is walking in touch and step with the Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this series in Proverbs. Lord, the amazing things that we discovered and learned that Solomon shared and gathered all these pieces together. But it pales to the reality, God, of who you are. That I don't have to get all of these principles down and remember all of them. I can just pursue you. I can study Proverbs and I can learn about it, but I can only walk it out through your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Lord, I pray that for me. I pray that for our church. That we would discover and get you, Jesus. That we would grow our walk, whether it's reading the word and praying, of fellowship. That we would have friends that would encourage us to grow our faith in you. Lord, that so that people would see, is like, I can tell those people have been with Jesus. Amen.